Thank you, Pastor Archie. Oh, hey, see everybody ready for the word today?
Yeah.
Sige. We wrapped up our series All and Nothing last week, and we're concluding. And we actually started the annual two-week series on missions also last week, okay? And this is actually the second week, and we're concluding, okay? This series on missions, something that we do every year, okay? We talk about missions, we talk about nations, we talk about going into all the world. How many of you know that God has called us not just to be local, but to be global? That's why in Victory, we always say that there are two things that you need. You need a Bible to know the will of God, and you need a passport to do the will of God. And I was a student. I was listening to our pastor saying that you need a passport. And I was saying, you know, where are we going to go? Until finally, we were launched out to Malaysia and then Thailand. And it was then that it really made sense. And we're really called to make a difference. Some of you are going to be launched out to Iraq, okay? Or these other places. But, you know, God's going to give you the grace for that. Syria, though. Syria, okay. Sige. Let's just turn our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10. You know, we want to revisit our history. We want to revisit what we love doing as a church. Because Victory was actually birthed through missions, grows through missions, and will be faithful to the mandate to make disciples of all nations, okay? And God has actually never veered away from that plan. From day one of Christianity, from Acts chapter 1, God never had a plan B. He never had a plan C. God intended to change the world. He intended to evangelize the nations through the church. In spite of how we've messed up, in spite of how many times we've failed in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, God stuck it out with us. God stuck it out with the church. He had a plan A, never had a plan B. And the church is you. It's us. And real transformation is going to take place in this city, not because of our government leaders. It's because of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ given to the church for us to be able to pass it down, you know, to the people around us, even to the next generations after us. Okay? God only had a plan A, no plan B and no plan C. How many of you feel so privileged that God handpicked us to be appointed to go to the nations, to be bearers of the gospel, that God's kingdom will advance forcefully. Amen. As a Christian, one of the fundamental things I believe that a Christian needs to know is to learn to follow a plan. Okay? We just came from a building project last April. We just moved on to our new center, but it's not yet completed. It's 50% completed. So I'm getting, again, some ideas from your center right here. There's actually a lot of things I've learned from having a project like this, okay? You know, the contractor gave us a blueprint of things to be done, okay? Which includes the measurements and the design and the workload. And every time I get to hold of the blueprint, you know, I make decisions based on that, okay? And, you know, I sound like an expert. And honestly, you know, there were several times that I felt tempted to step out of a plan. How many of you tried doing that before? You tried to step out of a plan. Two things I've learned when you step out of the plan. Number one, you don't get the best results. Number two, it's costlier in the end. And there are several times that you feel like, you know better than the expert. And so you tend to, okay, mukhang okay to, mukhang maganda to, mukhang ito yung kulay. And then later, you find yourself bringing it down again and following the plan. How many of you tried that? Here's your coach. He draws a game plan for you, and then you think you're the superstar. You score a lot in the game, but it costs you the win after. Maybe you have a financial plan, you know, as a couple, and then your father tells you, well, hey, this is what you need to do. And then you tend to take the risk. Hindi naman calculated risk. Talagang risk lang talaga. And at the end of that, you know, the debt starts to build up. Okay? And it's a lot of things taking place. If we step out of a plan, you know, the Bible says that God has a plan for our salvation. Okay? That even before the foundations of the earth, God already has a plan for you. Look at the person next to you, the other person. God has a plan for you. Okay? And the passage that we will be reading today reminds us that following a plan is a fundamental issue for all believers. Okay? That's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible says that God has a wonderful plan for our lives. In a very famous verse In Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has a plan for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. And a specific salvation plan God has is found in the book of Romans chapter 10. Okay, starting with verse 13 to verse 15, then we'll jump to verse 1 and 4. It says here, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Verse 15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? How many of you here, you're ready to be sent to the world? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Jump to the preceding verses, verse 1 to 4. It says, in verse 1, it says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Verse 2, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 4, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. And last verse says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The Apostle Paul actually, you know, gives a plan for our salvation. And he actually describes the messed up situation that the Jewish people are in. Okay? They're actually in an irreparable mess. That's the first thing that the Apostle Paul finds here. That no amount of religion, no amount of zeal, no amount of human efforts and works can fix our problem. That the only hope is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. These verses here from verse 1 to 4 actually describes the kind of world we're living in. World full of religion. We find a lot of religious people out there. Religious Buddhists, religious Hindus, religious spiritists, religious atheists. We find a lot of, you know, religious Roman Catholics and evangelicals and even Protestants who think that they can earn the favor of God through human efforts. But nobody ever sought the truth more zealously than the Jewish people. They were so zealous for God. Yet the Bible says that they did not know the truth. It was to them that God handed the Old Testament. It was to them that God gave the laws, the covenants, the divine promises. God has actually prepared scribes and Pharisees and prophets and kings and judges and writers and experts of the law to interpret the scripture to them. Jerusalem was actually a citadel for religious learning. And every time Jesus looks at the Pharisees, sabi nga nila yung Pharisees daw equivalent to 5 doctoral degrees. They memorize the Torah word for word. These first 5 books of the Bible. They're experts of the law. They're experts of religious laws. And yet when Jesus looked at them, Jesus said, you know neither me nor my Father. In other words, it's possible to be so religious and not know God. It's so possible even to be so zealous. Some people would say, well, you know, as long as you just seek God, you know, in so many different ways, kahit ito, papunta dito, or ito, it doesn't matter. As long as it is monotheistic, look at this. They were seeking the right God. But they were seeking Him in the wrong way. It's very possible to come to church and not have a relationship with God. It's so possible to be so religious and not be in an intimate relationship with God. It's like, you know, you're trying to go to Manila and then you're so serious about it, but you board the wrong plane. You get to the plane first, you buckle up, you imagine, I'm going to do this in Manila, I'm going to be with my family, and so on and so forth. How many of you know that your sincerity will not change your destination? Unless you step out of that plane and go to another plane that's headed for Manila. In verse 3, look at this. Paul briefly describes their condition. It says, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. This is actually the problem. This is actually the mess that we are all in. Lack of understanding of how holy God is. lack of understanding of how righteous he is. I asked some people, and I was doing one-to-one with somebody in Ipoloc City, and he's a fine gentleman. He's a good man. I asked him, what if you're going to die today? How many of you still remember the two diagnostic questions in Evangelism Explosion? And then I asked him, what if you're going to die today? Where do you think you're going? He said, I'm going to go to heaven. And if God is going to ask you, God is at the door, and God will ask you, why will I let you into my heaven? You know what he said? He said, I'm a good person. I go to church. I attend mass. You know, I actually sent my siblings to school. And finally, I started to present to him how holy God is. And he realized that he too is a mess. And apart from God, we don't have the ability to know him. We don't have the ability to even seek God, to be zealous about things of God. Now, apart from God, we're not even in this place, raising our hands, worshiping him, entering confidently and boldly into his holy presence. The problem with us is that we're actually making God less holy than he is. And we make ourselves more holy or holier or more righteous than we are. It's like, you know, we sound like we're at par with God. We sound like, you know, I just have to do something and then immediately I can earn these favors. Like, we have a picture right here. There's a goal of this kid. We lower God's standard. Hello? And then you look at that, but if you're going to put that goal on its original standard, I mean, if you know, that kid is unable to put that ball into the hoop. And the only way he can put that ball inside that ring is when somebody picks him up, 6'5" basketball player, brings him up, and then for him to be able to effortlessly, you know, put it in. Max Lucado actually describes our condition this way. Sabi niya, it's like a third grade dropout who's trying to enter Harvard Law School. Ganun po yung condition natin. That apart from God, we're lost. Apart from God, we're messed up. And so the Apostle Paul says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That's Paul's answer. That Christ is our only hope. That Christ is the only fulfillment that the law requires. The law requires death. Jesus died the death. And it satisfies the wrath of a holy God. The law requires a perfect life. Jesus lives that life. And because of what he lived and how he lived his life, now we're covered with the righteousness of Christ and we stand before the holy presence of God. All God sees is our Lord Jesus Christ. This God came down on earth, died on the cross for us, gave his life for us, died our death so we can live his life. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. We don't share a caricature of the gospel. We don't share just a semblance of the gospel. People need the gospel. The unchangeable gospel. The irrevocable gospel. When you go to verse 9 of the book of Romans, it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. A lot of things have changed. A lot of things, technology has changed, people have changed. One thing remains constant. The greatest need for men is still the gospel. It's still the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an irrevocable message. I believe this is one of the reasons why, you know, Paul was so impacted by the gospel of Christ and how he sees people, how he sees the gospel in application, you know, into the lives of people. So I said in Romans 1:16, I mean, remember that verse. It says, for I am not ashamed. How many of you are not ashamed of the gospel? It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. You know what, Christians in the time of Paul, we're always tempted to be ashamed of the gospel. And you find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18. It says, the preaching of the cross or the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness. We preach Christ crucified to the Jews, a stumbling block and to the Gentiles' foolishness. You know why it was a stumbling block to the Jews? Can you imagine a son of a Jewish carpenter dying on the cross to become their savior? It was an offense to them. And crucifixion was actually the worst kind of death. It's only reserved for criminals and slaves. Why would they put their faith on a son of a Jewish carpenter hanging on a cross? It was a stumbling block for them. To the Gentiles, it was foolishness. You know, the gods of the Gentiles were never personal. They worshiped their gods from a distance. Their gods were far from his people. And now the idea of God coming down on earth, dying on the cross for them. Now Christians are saying we can have an intimate love relationship with God. That was a joke for them. That was comical to them. Okay? But in spite of that, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know what CNN says? That Christianity is still the most persecuted religion in the world. I don't know if you've noticed that in your schools, in your campuses, in your offices. Talk about Muhammad. It's okay with them. Talk about Buddha. People can converse with you. The moment you talk about Jesus, immediately people would want to stop the conversation. You want to lose your seat, mate, in the plane? Open your Bible. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God. You know what this is? This is actually the most life-transforming truth ever put into our hands. It's like you're given the code. It's like you're given the access to the button that's gonna launch a rocket to the space. We have a life-transforming tool that God has actually entrusted to us. I'm reminded of Mike Tyson's fight and Lennox Lewis. I think the younger generation don't remember that. We have two groups here, once young and young once. Okay? How many of you are once young? I'm raising my hands. Okay? That was our time. Okay? Ngayon, Manny Pacquiao na and Floyd Mayweather Jr. I mean, we watch boxing. Okay? But it was at a time, you know, the most powerful boxer is actually Mike Tyson. And he would say in his interviews, I couldn't forget that. You know, in some of his interviews, he would say, I'm going to beat you black and blue. I'm even going to eat your children alive. Okay, ibang klase mag-trash talk, okay? Ni-intimidate talaga. Pagdating mo sa ring, parang kakainin ba ako nito? Or, and here they are. You know, after the fight, that's the picture. You know what that picture says? It's so much unlike what the gospel is. It's so much unlike what the kingdom of God is. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. The root word for the word power in Romans chapter 1, 18, in this verse, is actually the word dunamis. Okay? It's the Greek word for power. That's where we get the word dynamite. Okay? You know why it's so powerful? Because it is not the dunamis of men. It is the dunamis of God. Okay? What accompanies the preaching of the gospel is the power of God. Behind the gospel is exactly the power of the omnipotent God. When the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God. You know what power accompanies that? In Psalm 79:11 it says, God has great power. In Psalm 89:13 it says, God has strong power. Exodus 15:6, God has glorious power. Job 9:4, mighty power. Isaiah 26:4, everlasting power. Romans 9:21, sovereign power. Isaiah 43:13, effectual power. Deuteronomy 32:39, irresistible power. Psalm 89:8, incomparable power. Job 5:9, unsearchable power. The Bible says the gospel is power. Amen. The power of God to change and transform lives. Amen. Some of us may say, we give all our excuses. Well, Pastor, hindi pa ako equipped. Pastor, hindi ko pa alam mag-share. Hindi ko pa alam mag-disciple. Pastor, good. Because we have the gospel. Okay? It's not the dunamis of men. The power there is not how good you engage the campus. It's not how excellent you preach. It's not how good you are in campus ministry. It's not about you. Paul says, I am. If it's about him, it doesn't contain power. If you look at our lives, it's a bunch of weaknesses, a bunch of failures, a bunch of issues. We thank God it's not about us. Amen. It's about the power of God. It says, unto salvation, the power to save, the power to transform, the power to change. Things that we can't do for ourselves, the gospel can accomplish for us. Believe God for a friend. Just preach the gospel, whether he believes or not. And the gospel is the word of God that's living. Once it's released, it sinks in the heart of people. Once it's planted, it grows into a harvest of righteousness. It's the power of God. We don't just share. We don't just take with us a magazine and you share to a friend. You don't just have some novels telling them about. We have the gospel that contains the power of God to change people's lives. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone. How many of you know it's for everyone? No racial barriers. We sing in Sunday school in the past. I grew up in Sunday school. We sing the song, Black and Yellow, Red and White, all are precious. I mean, still remember that song. I mean, we grew up in Sunday school. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Whether you're black, you're yellow, you're violet, you're white, you're... doesn't matter. It's for everyone. No racial barriers. Push a pink down. No racial bars. No social barriers, rich or poor. Okay? It's for everyone. No age barrier, 8 or 80, young and old. It's for everyone. There's no moral barrier. Nobody is beyond God's forgiveness. If sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Kapatid ko, drug addict. Binago ni God. Pagdagdag drugs yon, many, many years ago. Minsan lulong sa droga. He's in his room, 7 o'clock. Pagbalik mo, nakaganon pa rin, 5 p.m. na. Binago ni Lord. One Christmas time, umuwi sa bahay, may dalang malaking Bible. He used to sport a long hair, and he would sometimes lead riots in his school. Right now, he's a pastor. He's our pastor in Victory Jensen. The power of the gospel. What we can't do for ourselves, God can do. The gospel can do for us. Alam niyo, sobrang simple yung gospel kasi it says, it is the power of God for the salvation of those who believes. Pero pastor, sobrang pangit ng life ko. Regardless of your past, you just say, God, I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe. Salvation is going to come upon you. Simple. The scope of the gospel is for everyone. For everyone. You don't have to be a Bible expert to be saved. You don't even have to be religious to be saved. You just have to put yourself in the middle of the plan of God for salvation. And the plan of God simply states, if you believe, God so loved the world. He gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Whoever believes, that's how simple it is. To the Jews first, who are so offended by the gospel. Then to the Gentiles, who find the gospel as a stumbling block. Even to the enemies of the cross. The gospel is for them. For everyone. Believes. You know what makes it even more simple? Okay? It's us. It's you. God chose to use us to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. It says here, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Verse 15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How many of you here you want to be used by God? Let me see your hands. How many of you here, you really want to be used by God? Say, God, use me, God. Lord, use me for your glory. Use me for your honor. Use me, God, in advancing the kingdom of God. It says, you know, they cannot hear until somebody tells them about the word. They cannot hear until someone is sent to them to preach the gospel to them, which actually leads me to my third point, the irrepressible messengers. Okay? This word, irrepressible, means not able to be controlled or restrained. How many of you here, you can't be controlled? In spite of your circumstances, in spite of your situation, in spite of how persecuted you are, you cannot be controlled in preaching the gospel. That's actually how Paul is. If you go to Acts chapter 9, when Paul first encountered God, God told him, stand up and go. And you hear the word saying, find it in the word, it says, then he went. He got up and he went. That's the first thing about being an unstoppable messenger of the gospel. Availability. It doesn't start with, Lord, where am I going? It doesn't start with a material. It is a template that says this is what you ought to do, how you ought to do it. It simply starts with, God, I still don't know where, when, how. But God, I'm available, Lord. I'm here. God, use my life, Lord. I'm just faithfully serving in the ushering ministry. I'm just faithfully serving God here. But, you know, one of these days, I believe I'm going to collide with your destiny for my life. I'm just here. I'm just faithfully, you know, just cleaning the, I remember, I started with a setup ministry. Back in Zamboanga, 2 hours before the service, we would set up the place. We would clean. Yung pastor namin, very militant. Right? Si Pastor Eugene at the time, Pastor Eugene Ramirez. We had to clean the wires 2 hours before the service because all the instruments were kept in our house. That's maybe 15 minutes away from the church. And so we had to hire a truck, okay, to take all the instruments and equipment and bring it to the center. You know, it starts with that. And finally, God puts the vision in your heart. And if you're right there and God is ready to put that vision in your heart, wala ka pang passport, okay? Wala, hindi ka pa available kay God, how can God use you? It starts with saying, God, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know where, but I'm here. God, I'm ready, Lord, to be launched out. Whether in Dumaguete, some of you maybe, you're going to be used in Dipolog City. Okay, I'm just kidding. Or in other nations, as long as you're available. Paul was available. He wasn't just available. He was passionate for lost people. And he illustrated that. He displayed that in his life. Look at verse 1 of Romans chapter 10. It says, brethren, my heart's desire or my longing, my passion, and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. He was driven by his passion for the lost. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, in the middle part of that verse, it says, we know no man after the flesh. In other words, he sees people not in accordance to their earthly status. When he walks inside the campus, he doesn't see people with uniforms. He sees them as eternal souls. It's not according to what they wear, the Lacoste shirt they have, Levi's jeans, the car they drive. It's not about that. Apart from Jesus, they're lost. And it ought to change our perspective about people, the people around us, people that we encounter. It's not about their titles. It's not about their family name. It's not whether they're rich or poor. They're educated or lack of it. Paul says, I don't regard them according to the flesh. And you find the verse next. After that, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old has gone and the new has come. What passion for the lost. Passion for the gospel of Christ. You see your friend, she looks so beautiful, looks so handsome, looks like he has everything apart from Jesus. He's either going to spend eternity with God or apart from God. Not according to the flesh. You find somebody who looks so educated. You find somebody who looks like he has everything in his life. Don't be intimidated by that. That guy needs the gospel. He needs Jesus. He needs to have an encounter with Christ. Your classmate, your richest classmate in class needs Jesus. The same thing with the one who doesn't have anything. They need Christ. He was available. He was passionate. Lastly, it was the compassion for the lost. Romans 9, nung binabasa ko tong verse na to, yung passage na to, iniisip ko, Lord, may compassion pa talaga ako for the lost. Kasi extreme yung compassion niya for the lost. I was just praying, God, I don't know, God, if I can really have this kind of compassion for the lost. It was just too strong. If you'd read verse 1, it says, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. In other words, he was saying, he was using everything, you know, to support, to validate his claim. He was saying, I'm not lying. God knows this is what I feel. Okay? And then in verse 2, he says, that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. He says, I have endless pain. It never goes away. How many of us have that same passion for the gospel? Compassion for lost people. Look at verse 3. It says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He's not only saying, God, I'm giving my time to reach these people. It was not just saying, God, I'm just giving my resources to reach these people. He's not just saying, God, I'm offering my prayer to reach these people. It was not just saying, God, I'm going to offer my life to reach these people. You know what he's saying? God, I'm offering my eternity to reach these people. If there's a need for me to go to hell, to take them out, if only I have the power to do that, Paul says, I would do so. Last Thursday, we had our prayer meeting and started praying for all these missionaries who were persecuted in another nation. And just looking at that, you know, a lot of the people were in tears. And one of our staff went up and she grabbed the mic and she said, why do we always hear about radical Muslims? And rarely do we hear about radical Christians. Why do we always hear in the news, television, people, you know, talking about these radical Muslims persecuting and burning the churches? Why do we seldomly hear about radical Christians? In this passage that we just looked earlier, that's a radical Christian right there. And actually, there's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. Kristiyano ka, dapat on fire ka palagi for God. Right. Diba oxymoron? Alam mo yung oxymoron? Oxymoron, parang ano, two words that can come together. Good grief. You know, jumbo shrimp. Jumbo na, shrimp pa, diba? Plastic glass. Plastic na glass pa. Yung lukewarm Christian, oxymoron din yan. Hindi pwede magkasabay. Pag Kristiyano, dapat on fire for God. Pag Kristiyano ka, dapat radical ka. Other time, I was listening to a conversation in a group and he was saying, I didn't know that you're a Christian. Ilang years na tayo magkasama sa office. Kristiyano ka pala? Sana hindi ito mangyayari sa atin. Okay? And if you're a Christian, you let your light so shine before men so that they will see your good works. It doesn't say so that they will hear what you have to say, so that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We need the gospel. Your friends need the gospel. People around us need the gospel. People in the ends of the earth, the uttermost part of the earth need the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know that God can change a messed up life into a powerful life, into a messenger, effective and powerful in taking the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth?